The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Thursday. Gary, good morning. How are you?
I'm not doing good at all.
No?
I know. I mean, these judges are taking all the fun out of it.
Yeah.
In California, the state Supreme Court decided that California will not be able to vote as to whether to split into three new states.
Right.
As of yet, the court needs to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The three-state initiative, it's Proposition 9, had gathered, this is from the San Francisco Chronicle, had gathered enough signatures to qualify for the November ballot. 9 days after opponents filed suit, the court issued a unanimous order, removing the measure from the ballot and ordering further legal arguments on whether it should be placed on another ballot in 2020 or struck down altogether. The court said it usually allows ballot measures to go to the voters before considering constitutional challenges. But in this case, the six justices said significant questions regarding the proposition's validity and the potential harm of allowing public vote before those questions are resolved outweighs the potential harm in delaying the proposition to a future election. Those questions include whether California voters broad authority to enact laws by initiative established in 1911 includes the power to break up the state and in the process abolish its constitution and existing laws to be replaced by lawmaking bodies in three future states. The other narrow legal issue is whether Prop 9, drafted as a change in the laws that define California's boundaries, would actually amount to a revision of the state's constitution. That cannot be done by initiative. Well, of course it would be a revision of the state's constitution. What are you going to do? Have all three states have the same constitution and then say that the constitution's the same, but you have three separate states?
Well, and then who has authority? Who has power in the three separate states? Basically, the court is saying, hey, you guys don't know what you're doing here.
Basically, that's what they're saying.
Well, because there is not, it is not really a real proposal. If you look at it, a true proposal would be fully prepared, include all of the details, all of the questions would be answered in the proposal. So in this case, it would essentially have to be about 9 million pages long.
Well, it would have to be 9 million pages long, and I think we're exaggerating there. I think we're on the lower end.
I know. It could be 1,400 million Bezoses long.
And I say that because it's the same thing when California talks about the, you know, seceding from the United States, and we said there's so many questions. You just don't say, okay, we're gone. No. There's federal land that you either have to buy or you're going to have a ton of Berlins,
right? Yeah.
Inside, yeah. The state of California. That'd be if you were seceding, taking your share of the federal debt. How would you figure that out now? But that's just for the secession as a whole. But splitting the state into three.
Yeah.
What about all the bond proposals that you have? How do you work out all the different bond proposals that the state has to fund so many different things?
And who would be, again, where would your governors come from? At what level or I guess at what point, at what time would they assume power of their new state? How would that happen? And what would the cooperation be with in terms of the other states, the other, well, 49 states? Because you're adding a couple here. And you're essentially doing something that is outside the authority of any given state. If you want to break it into other states, well, that has to include the federal government.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the federal government is separate from what the state decides
well,
to do.
Well, sure.
The federal government would have to approve of it.
They can make that choice.
But that isn't the question that the state Supreme Court would be looking at.
No, but it's one of the questions that has to be answered, and so that the public, anyone responding to the petition, has to be fully informed. And that's essentially what the court is saying. There are many questions here that have to be answered here so that the people who signed the petition are going to, again, be fully informed and be able to make the choice based on all of the information. There are many things that would have to happen for that to come to fruition. Do those people who signed the petition know all of the things that would be involved?
Now, one of the lawsuits challenging it says that the initiative would not revise, but would abolish the existing state constitution and all state laws. And it would.
Yes, I think by default it would have to.
You can't make that point that it would not. And if the legislature in 1911, if they did say, yes, we have the ballot initiative where if you get a number of votes, you can have a ballot come up, but it must, you know, contain what's going on inside of California, that the ballot initiative was never to break up the state of California and revise the and abolish the state constitution, because it wouldn't revise it. If you have three different states, then the California state constitution is gone.
Yes.
And you can't, if you're trying to make the argument it's not, you really can't. Also, legal groups representing low income California citizens argued that the three new states, while relatively equal in population, would be financially unequal. The new Northern California would have far more revenue available from income sales and property taxes and less need for spending on public assistance than the two new states. Mm. California state government now equalizes these disparities based on the need, not geography, said Bob Wolf, attorney for public counsel in the Western Center of Law and Poverty, told the court. Once the state is divided, such a needs-based allocation no longer would be possible. So the court's order leaves 11 propositions on the November 6th ballot. This one right now, at least right now, is not on the ballot.
Yeah, because it's not a simple marriage or a simple marriage. It is not a simple divorce of the other two. Splitting it into three states, that's basically what you were asking the people, right? Hey, should we put this on the ballot so that we could, you know, vote on getting a divorce? that's what that is. But you can't answer it that it's not that simple. That's not the only question. For instance, when they voted down gay marriage twice in California, that was a very simple question. In our state, should same-sex couples be allowed to marry? And the people of California both times said no. But you could, when you put a proposition on the ballot, often it is, while there are some details in implementing it, if it is passed, it is not like it often is a very simple, I guess, equation and deals, as you mentioned, only with the state itself. Things happening law within the state.
This would be
breaking up the state and would affect, you know, a number of people who didn't sign it, who didn't sign any petition, who didn't jump on board.
And I guess the court isn't saying that California can't decide to split into three states. It's that you can't do it, that the initiative process, which was passed way back in 1911, doesn't permit you to do it. If the legislature wished to do it, they could pass a law, and then they could say, okay, here's how we're going to do everything. This would split it. It was split into three states. Now, it's not going to happen because the federal government's not going to allow it.
Right.
But because neither the Democrats or Republicans are going to go, wait a minute, are we sure we're not? You're going to get six senators in a state where then you now have two senators. Which way are those senators going to go?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not going to happen. You're not going to be able to get the votes for it. But The legislature, in essence, could do it if they came up with a plan. Probably that the court would say, well, yeah, if the legislature wishes to do it. There's nothing in the law that keeps the legislature from saying we want to go into, three different states. And here's how we're going to divide the assets, and here's how we're going to divide the debt.
Right.
Because that hasn't been talked about at all. I mean, it's sort of like when they did the single-payer system.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the assembly said, sorry, got death threats for it, said, sorry, you just can't say we vote for a single-payer system unless you have a payment mechanism for it.
Right.
We're not going to create this chaos of saying, all right, a single-payer system, we'll worry about paying for it down the road. Mm-hmm. You got death threats and everything.
Right.
See, I think they should have passed it.
Well, when you look at something like this, again, it is not... There are so many things that have to be addressed, which is exactly what the court is saying. Not only is there no setup in this way, no process for it, for the voters to basically just put it on the ballot. It has to be done a different way. But
right.
The reason is because you're going to have to answer all of the questions for the people. They're going to have to. Through their representatives, they're going to have to make choices, real choices. You know, there are a lot of people that may have signed it just thinking, oh, yeah. And it's sounds like this novel idea. Oh, let's get a divorce. I don't want to live in this state. I don't want that to be my state anymore.
I hate you.
Exactly. You know, so that's what it comes down to. Well, it's not that simple.
I mean, it's fun to talk about, but it's not going to happen, but it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's...
And keep wasting the taxpayer dollars on all these
sure.
suits and everything else.
Yeah. But I think it was pretty clear when you had the state's highest court basically come back and go, yeah, you know, you don't... This... No, you can't do that. It's almost like a Spicoli moment, you know, where they just, hey, I got an idea. And... Now, I'm sure there are some conservatives out there, and we've talked about it, you know, when if a state wants to secede or, you know, if they did want to, you know, break up into three states, I'm sure a lot of conservatives know full well what it would be. But again, the process is very different. To go through that, to actually go through that, it would be... Okay, if they could get it done, and assuming the federal government would approve it, I'm guessing it likely would take a decade at the very least.
Well, but remember this, though. I think the big thing is that's being missed on all of this is that California in itself, by getting to the point of having this on a ballot initiative, have admitted Trump isn't at fault. They are.
Well...
California's problems are their own fault.
Well, and basically what do you have? The people that are signing it are saying it's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. Right?
Right, but the total message is it's not the United States that's screwed up. We're screwed up and got to split up into three states because we're totally screwed up.
I think that was the point of conservatives in California who were supporting it. You guys are crazy.
All right, we got a great show ahead. Democrats have a new slogan, for the people. We here at Red Eye Radio are asking, what people, though?
Yeah, which people?
What people are we talking about?
Because it can't be for the rich people.
Yeah,
right?
for what people?
Mm.
Texas alone will pass Iraq and Iran and become the world's number three oil producer. Texas alone.
Mm-hmm.
We will tell you about non-citizens legally registered to vote in San Francisco school elections because, as we know, Democrats do not want foreign influence on the elections. More on the state suing the federal government to stop the GOP cap deductions. And like we said yesterday, this isn't about targeting states. It's about targeting the rich. And you have New York and all these other states that are furious that... they have to tax the rich more because the rich are paying too much already.
We brought that up yesterday.
Yes, we did.
You know, that's forget about targeting blue states. It targets another class.
Yeah.
High earners.
It's targeting their, well, remember, it targets both Republicans in that state and Democrats in the state.
Right.
We even said what Republicans haven't thought about is they could lose congressional seats in a lot of these mm-hmm. blue states.
Those red districts.
Right. That this could come back to bite some Republicans in their district.
Right.
We'll see how that goes. George Soros says Obama was my greatest disappointment. The richest socialist liberal in the world said that Obama was my greatest disappointment.
Now, has anyone said that just sounds odd? My greatest disappointment? I mean, we know the backing of Obama, but doesn't that just... That's really right out of the...
I owned him.
It's right out of the puppet master's mouth.
I thought I was the puppet master of Obama.
Right.
Certainly money-wise, I was.
Right. Well, since when does a rich white guy get away with saying my disappointment when he's talking in terms of the first African-American president?
We'll tell you about millennials, this survey. Millennials want to retire at 61, but they're not saving. So we'll get to that and more, plus all of your calls and comments. If you'd like to get in, lines are open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just so you know, we keep up to date on, you know, what sporting events are doing ratings-wise on TV.
Yeah.
Tuesday's Major League All-Star Baseball game clocked a 2 rating in the demo and 8.34 million viewers. Wow. It got beat by America's Got Talent. So... Apparently, the World Cup beat the baseball All-Star game.
Yes. You could have put on, I don't know, a number of shows. Dora the Explorer probably would have beat the All-Star game. I just don't see the point of the All-Star game.
You know, the home run contest to me is the most useless thing ever.
Whenever
they're the home run, it's like they're all the sports stations were making a big to-do of it. The home run contest, I'm like, yawn.
I just don't see the point.
Yeah.
Do any of the teams benefit? Do any of the players benefit?
Not anymore, now that they don't give the winner the, you know, the edge in the World Series. Remember, they used to give the winner
edge. Right.
They stopped it this
year. Yeah, so there's no point.
Yeah.
If you're going to play a game,
except you're honoring the stars.
Point.
Well, it's like, you know, when you see all the All-Star games and you see that they're really not playing the real game that they play every day.
Right. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
Summer heat will be intense for the western and southern U.S. the rest of the week. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for parts of the west, while heat advisories blanket the south. Record high temperatures possible in the southern U.S. from today into this weekend, so the period of hazardous heat will be prolonged. In the west, it's the high temperatures and dry conditions, added to some winds which will increase red flag warnings and the potential for more wildfire danger. Atlanta will be at 90 today. Memphis will hit 92. Dallas above the triple digits at 106. Kansas City 92 today. Chicago 81. From Des Moines to Minneapolis, St. Paul, then over to Madison, we'll see some showers today. That's the I-35, 90, 94 area. That system will remain pretty well locked in place today, but look for those showers moving into the Chicagoland area by tomorrow. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
And the drinking game continues. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I was driving yesterday and today, and I could see the Sahara Desert dust.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have some rolling hills near where I live. Yes, in Texas, I have the rolling hills.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was driving near my lake yesterday, I went, what I first thought it was? I first thought it was a brush fire. So there's a brush fire somewhere.
Right.
And all of a sudden I thought to myself, no, it's not a brush fire. That's the Sahara Desert haze that's now over North Texas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was pretty significant. I mean, I was amazed. It looked like a light fog.
Yeah. Often we'll get a West Texas dust storm. In other words, dust picked up and that travels and, you know, and it's just amazing to think about that. But it does happen. And I remember one time it settled where I was living. And I was like, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
In other news, the Democrats now have a midterm slogan.
Mm-hmm.
It's to counter Trump and make America great again. The Democrats' slogan for the midterm election is for the people. Now, Scuttlebutt has a word going to call it for the American people, but then that's too nationalistic.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that.
Because we ask, what people precisely are you for?
Well, they were going to go for the worker, but they thought, that's too full on socialist.
Oh, Cortez was pushing for that
I'm sure.
She was pushing for that one. No.
I'm sure.
Make it for the worker. Yeah. Make it for the worker. Mm-hmm. Make it for the worker. Well, they can't do that. They've got to make it as generic as possible.
Well, they were also going to go with the People's Republic of, and that also didn't
for the
fly too well.
It was going to be for the People's Republic.
Yes. And they were like, no, because one, we can't call it a republic. You know, we don't do that. And secondly, somebody else has already taken that. For the people. What?
Illinois Representative Bustos, co-chair of the House Democratic Messaging Arm, and her colleagues unveiled the new line Wednesday after a private meeting with members. They say it sums up the party's position on three core issues: health care costs, infrastructure projects, and efforts to expose corruption. All right, let's start going through those, okay? The efforts to expose corruption, you can wipe that off the map.
Right.
Everybody claims they want that.
Yeah.
That's meaningless. Infrastructure projects, the Republicans are talking about infrastructure projects on a consistent basis that Democrats are turning down mm-hmm. because they don't want the Republicans to get credit for infrastructure projects.
Right.
Now, we look at it and we think that when the Republicans say we need infrastructure projects to make the economy better, we vehemently disagree with the Republicans on that one.
Yes.
You do infrastructure projects because you believe that the infrastructure needs repair.
Right.
So health care costs, they may have a political in there for the midterm election. Because the Republicans, and we said this way back when the Republicans decided to get rid of the individual mandate and get rid of other taxes, but leave all the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, if you're not going to subsidize it, health care costs are going to skyrocket from Obama-Trump care. And I say Obama-Trump care because Trump is now gaining ownership of it, whether he likes it or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's gaining ownership, and we said if you don't confront those with either massive subsidies, you're going to see a huge increase, which is going to be used against you in the midterms, and that's where I believe the Democrats are going to head when it comes to health care on that. Now, since they're you know, the individual mandate, technically you're not going to be punished if you're not in it this year, for next year, you can get out of it. So if it skyrockets, you simply say, I don't want it, and I'll wait till I get, need medical care, and then I'll go to the emergency room, and they must accept me.
Right.
We're back to that again. That may be the only out for Republicans, is the fact that people will be happier that the mandate is gone rather than that their health care costs have gone up in Obamacare.
Yeah, and I mean, I think at some point there's going to have to be the ultimate long game solution. I don't know how Republicans get to that point because it will put them right back where they were last year. And they couldn't come to an agreement because the American people now have basically changed their mind. We want to keep certain parts of it. We don't want to really pay for it.
All right. That's the tough position that you're in. And we challenged Republicans on it because the real change in the polls was with Republicans.
Right.
Republicans who hated every part of Obamacare until they got part of it. And then they said, well, we don't like the cost of it, but we love the benefits. Get rid of the mandate, but give us the free stuff, and then we'll be happy. Well, of course, for the majority of a significant portion of people out there who don't get the subsidies, you're going to see a huge increase and may be forced to drop it. So, that may be one thing that they can use for the people. They were probably pretty smart not to say, for the people, open borders and sanctuary cities.
Yeah, that may have been like in one of the original versions. That's about as close as you get to hope and change, right? For the people. I mean, what does it mean? Who are these people? I mean, what do you mean for the people? For what people? For the people that don't want sanctuary cities and sanctuary state? For those people?
Previous messaging attempts by Democrats included Better Deal. Wasn't that the Schumer one last year?
Is that what he called it? Yeah, it was something like that.
Wasn't that the better deal?
Right.
We have a better deal.
Mm-hmm. But what do you promote? You come up with a phrase that's meaningless.
Well, that's why I said when they promoted what it was about, infrastructure projects and exposed corruption.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean anything.
You're not talking to the people. That's just basically empty political rhetoric, because at least with hope and change, the one brilliant thing about that, I mean, politically, was that you allow people to take their blank canvas and apply whatever to it. Now, many delusional people applied a number of things. Their car payment, they're not going to have to worry about a number of things now. Remember the Obama song? We haven't played that in a long time. But how delusional was that? Because...
Yeah, by the way, to the administration, if you want to win the midterms by having the left go insane, somebody come up with a Trump song.
Well, because you
like
had
the Obama. Remember
well, because
the Obama
you had celebrities
song,
yeah. Known people, right? In that Obama song, and talking about what it was going to be like during the Obama years. Hey, ask George Soros how that worked out.
Yeah, George Soros probably is not going to sing the Obama song.
I'm guessing he's not. So, I mean. What
Will
is it I, that
Will
you
I am
promote?
Put that together, right?
Yeah. Will yeah. I Am produced it, and it was a whole number of celebrities. I forget how many were in there, but remember the one part where the young lady saying, it'll be my America, your America. Mm, not so much. Yeah. No.
Hey, whatever happened? Do liberals pledge anymore, or is the pledge gone? Remember the pledge?
Right.
Remember when all the celebrities took the pledge?
Mm-hmm. Well, remember in that song, Anthony Kiedis,
yes,
Red Hot Chili Peppers, he pledged to Barack Obama and then kissed his own biceps. That was weird. I guess it's not as weird as kissing somebody else's biceps. Yeah, that would just be odd.
I remember that. And was it Jay-Z or Kanye? Mm. Who was it that pledged that they used to keep their lights on, but now that Obama's president, they're going to turn their lights off?
That was P. Diddy.
Oh, it was P. Diddy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. No, Kanye's a Trump guy.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That's right. I'm sorry. I completely forgot.
Yeah.
All right. So we can have Kanye for the Trump song.
Put a Trump song together. Oh, man. If you
Kanye.
Oh, man. Now, if you want the left to go,
Kanye put together. If you want to win, a little bit of advice to the White House. Someone's up late listening. If you want to win by driving the left absolutely insane,
yeah,
have Kanye produce, direct, the Trump song, like the Obama song.
Now, the problem is the only other celebrities that would be in there would be James Woods and Scott Baio. So it'd be a short song with Kanye.
That's right, because Scott Baio's not going to be able to get Richie or the Fonz, is he?
No, Richie and Fonz are out. No,
but you can get Richie's brother.
Yeah, right.
Richie's brother.
Right, yeah.
Do it because he's a...
Yeah. Exactly.
He was a
and then
Nugent.
You can get Nugent. Nugent could play a solo right in the middle.
With Kanye, it'd be rap metal.
Yeah.
You know?
Kanye, I'm sure, would do a great job.
Probably more hip to the young, you know.
Yeah.
Kanye and Nugent together.
Yeah. Yeah. Kanye and Ted.
Yeah. And what about, what's his name from Megadeth? Where he's standing now?
Oh, Mustaine?
Yeah, Dave Mustaine. Could he get involved?
I have not seen him comment on Trump, but I would think that he supports him. I don't know, though. I have no idea. He was kind of all over the place at one point.
Kanye could put together the Trump bump.
Yeah, there you go. Can you imagine how over the top crazy the left would go? That would just be fun.
It really would.
That would be fun to watch. Yeah, I would love to see that happen.
For the people.
For the people.
For the people.
Well, but what are you really promoting?
They moved on. I thought it would be for the children. Remember, it used to be for the children.
Well, it was for the puppies, then it was for the children, and now it's for the people. Yeah, you know,
we don't hear that anymore, though.
No,
you don't hear the Democrats say "for the children" anymore. Remember, that used to be all the time. It's for the children. It's for the children.
Remember the whole "it takes a village" thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Because
it's about
for
the kids. About
because
the children.
It's for the children.
Yeah. By the way, you know, if you look at what Trump was promoting in 2016, those were new ideas again because no one had promoted them in so long. Lower taxes and border control. Seriously, it had been a long time. And so you had many going, oh, that sounds good.
Wow.
These are new ideas.
These are new ideas out there. Yeah. Border control.
Border control. That's awesome.
Tax cuts. Wow. What are they?
Wow. That's great.
All right. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Hurley. How about just a little bit of the Obama song?
Sure.
In case people never heard it before.
Right.
Because many didn't. You and I used to play it all the time after 2008, but here it is.
We can change the world. La, 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 la. We can change the world.
I would like to see a cleaner earth for my child that I'm bringing into the world very soon.
I think it's time for change. I want a better future for my children.
Obama.
I would like our environment to be safe.
Necesitamos respetar nuestro planeta.
Este es nuestro América. Mi América. Tu América.
This is our America.
Mi America.
My America.
Tu America.
Your America.
La America de nosotros.
Oh.
Obama. 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 Obama.
Yeah, if you put that together with Kanye singing Trump, we're gonna have some problems.
I'm saying we need a Trump need a Trump song if you want to win. You want to win the midterms. I mean the left is going insane right now, but you can send them right off a cliff with with the Trump song.
But it would have to be somebody that arrives with street cred. You know what I mean? I mean, it would have to be, it really would have to be Kanye, right?
Yes, it would have to be Kanye.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he still has street cred. I'm not the person to assess that properly.
Well, no, actually, it doesn't matter whether he has street cred.
Well,
because let's be honest. The only reason
to do production cred.
Well, production cred, yes. Yeah. Production. You need to have it produced well.
Right.
Because the only reason to produce the song is not because you'd actually produce a song about your the president that you prefer. It's just to drive the left nuts.
866-90 Red Eye.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90 Red Eye. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
You know, we did this story a couple of years ago when California was really in the drought, and they were showing that in the California reservoirs they had all these, remember these round black balls,
call them shade balls,
shade balls inside the reservoir. I mean, thousands of them.
Oh yeah,
maybe millions of them.
You're right.
I don't know, to cover a huge reservoir.
Yeah.
I mean, we know some of the reservoirs we have here in North Texas, and some of these reservoirs are 100 miles long. So there was, and we had talked about it on the air, just, you know, because we thought it was fascinating. And they were saying what it does is it keeps the water from evaporating.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you give me this story in the pre-show meeting that it's like, wow, just from Science Daily, using the shade balls and reservoirs may use up more water than they save. How? What didn't they take into the mix?
The water it takes to make the shade balls. Now, I only make shade balls at Christmas time, so I don't use a lot of water when I make them.
96 million shade balls were deployed into the Los Angeles reservoir.
There's our answer. 96 million.
And they cover the water surface to prevent evaporation, but they're saying to make the 96 million balls probably uses more water than they would have lost from evaporation.
Right. We're so smart. Watch this. Wow.
And this is from, by the way, this is from Science Daily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just so people know. Co-author, the co-author is Dr. Keva Madani from the Center of Environmental Policy.
Mm-hmm.
At Imperial College in London, said we are very good at quick technological fixes, but we often overlook the long-term and secondary impacts of our solutions. This is how the engineering community has been solving problems, solving one problem somewhere and creating a new problem elsewhere.
Well, you have to, in order to measure any benefit, you have to include beginning to end.
Well, here's what they say. The shade balls are made of a kind of plastic that requires oil, natural gas, and electricity to produce, all of which require large quantities of water.
Mm-hmm.
Producing 96 million balls of standard 5-millimeter thickness would use an estimated 2.9 million cubic meters of water. During their time on the reservoir, the balls are estimated to have saved 1.15 million cubic meters of water. The study team from Imperial, MIT, and the University of 20 predict the balls would have to be deployed for 2.5 years before the water they saved matched the water they used.
Right. Okay. So my question is, can they deploy them for that long? Or is there a breakdown of the material? Will they last that long?
This is only if they were preventing evaporation at the same rate, mm-hmm. even outside the dry period when not in drought conditions.
Yeah.
The balls are expected to be less efficient at preventing evaporation, meaning that they would have to be deployed for longer to save as much water as they use.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fascinating because, look, you know, we've talked about, you know, everything from ethanol, where Al Gore eventually admitted, okay, I lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
Ethanol, you know, making ethanol from farm to tank actually puts more global warming gases into the atmosphere. I'll never forget when, and it was Bush who signed the Democrats' bill back in December of, was it 2007? Yeah, because it was leading into the Obama election.
Okay.
It would have been December of 2007 when he signed it. We said, shouldn't have done it. And we were getting, you know, the left was going crazy at us because we said, no, you know, from what we can see at that time, wow, 11 years really has gone by quickly, almost, well, 10 and a half years. We said for everything that you need to do, there's a great possibility, and we believe, and many of the scientists we know say no, from farm to tank, you actually, put more global warming gases into the atmosphere. Well, it was finally by March and April of 2009 when the environmentalists even realized, oops.
Yeah.
The leftist environmentalists, oops, we made a mistake. To this day, we are still putting ethanol in gasoline in order to stop global warming gases into the atmosphere when it's acknowledged from both sides that it does the opposite of what was intended. And this administration, the Trump administration, is pushing to even use more ethanol in the tank. In gasoline, not in the tank, in gasoline, which just shows you once a government program starts, well, we're doing it because of this. Well, have you done all the science? Look, we know what's going on. We know what we're doing. And then you find out a few months later that you have universal agreement. It does the opposite of what was intended. It actually puts more global warming gases into the atmosphere. Fast forward to 11 years later, the program still is in existence, and the government actually wants to use more ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using taxpayer dollars to subsidize a product to put into our gas tanks that does the opposite of the goal. And 11 years later, the government wishes to increase the amount that we put in.
Yeah. I mean, that's the insanity.
That's the insanity.
That's government math for you.
And
it doesn't have to work out for a benefit. It doesn't have to have a positive at the end. We'll do it. Why? Well, because politically it works.
We remember when, you know, the whole thing about electric cars and remember some of the, what was it? Which was it the Volt? Remember the Volt gets 400 of whatever it was. Some ridiculous amount, or whatever it was, 282 miles per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that's impossible. There's no way it does it. How are you figuring this out? Well, we figure with the gasoline that you use after you charge it. Well, yeah, but you can't count the gasoline that you use when you're not using gasoline to power it.
Right.
You've got to use the electricity of when you plugged it in.
I mean, I could put my old truck on the back of a flatbed, and man, I could increase my mileage greatly.
Well, I could say that my lawnmower gets infinity miles per gallon.
Yeah.
Because my lawnmower, I have a very small backyard and front yard, so I don't want to have gasoline. My garage is attached to the house, so I just with the 130 degree temperatures that my garage can get up to,
during the summertime. Right. It's like, I don't want to keep gasoline in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it works great, but that's like me stating that, you know, I get infinity miles per gallon.
Right.
Well, infinity lawn cuts per gallon of my lawnmower. Well, yeah, but you use electric. Well, I don't care if the government can use it. Why can't I? If the government could use that with the volt, stating that, you know, that it gets certain. And so these are the lies that we're told. We always had wondered about, you know, when they talked about the savings that you would get from electric cars. And we said, well, wait a minute. What about the batteries? What about the production of the batteries and the disposal of the batteries? How much actually goes into, you know, how much actually goes into that? How much global warming gases, if that's what you're concerned about, goes into the production to make those batteries and then for the destruction or recycling of those batteries? And as we have found out, depending on the batteries that you have in your electric vehicle, it can be anywhere between 50 and 80,000 miles have been driven on that car with the global warming gases it's put into the atmosphere, and it's still sitting on the dealership parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have to replace it.
Yeah, you have to look at, again, the very beginning, the mining of all the materials that it takes to produce the car itself and all the components, including the massive batteries.
And that's been one of our questions to when we ever get the calls on, you know, the global. We're absolutely certain on global warming. If you haven't figured out how to create programs to put less global warming gases into the atmosphere, if all of your solutions, which are quite simple to figure out compared to the entire biosphere of the planet Earth, which is a guess, if you're completely wrong on the solutions, how can I trust that you're correct on the problem?
Yeah, that's the that's what this comes down to, is that there really hasn't been a peer-to-peer debate in the scientific community.
Well, we talk about the info that came out, the study that came out yesterday. What's the country that leads in reducing global warming gases? The one that said we're not going to be in the Paris Climate Accord.
Mm-hmm.
The Kyoto Protocol, forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
Europe, that has signed all these environmental deals, they're still putting more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. The United States, because of fracking that is hated by environmentalists, and places like New York completely banned them. That's the reason that the United States has reduced our global warming gases.
And by the way, by the left's standard, this is this
by the left standard.
We're talking based on the left's standard. We can have the debate about global warming gases and all of that. And again, we leave that to the scientific community. We're talking about their own standards and measurement.
Well, it was Bjorn Lomborg, you know, the scientist who believes he said, look, I can't tell you how much, but he believes that global warming gases are heating up the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So he's one of those that believes global warming is heating up the planet, but he believes that all the solutions from the left are completely wrong.
Yeah.
And actually make the problem worse.
Right.
And so here you have the shade balls, and it's like, finally, because that was 2015. Let me see. It was 2015 that we were talking about that, so 3 years ago this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute.
Because you didn't do the entire equation. You have to include all of the math. That would have been one of my first questions. Just, okay, what are these things made up? Oh, okay, so where did you make them, right? What was it? Could it have been a leftover material, right? Something that's being repurposed, as they call it. All right, now we're talking. Now there's something again to be said there, right? Okay, let's use it for this purpose. But that's not the case. But they often do this. Because it's going to, and this wasn't really any kind of mandate issue or anything else, but it applies to the same type of flawed math that they've been doing for years. And in 2010, Al Gore finally said it. Well, yeah, I lied because I was running for president. Lied about ethanol. Because politically I had to. And that's the kind of false math that's been going on for years that forces these mandates. Forget about what it costs. Forget about anything else or even the measurements by the left standard on global warming gases, greenhouse gases. Talk about the effect of people having to use the product as a result of the mandate. So we have a number of issues there, but we're not ready to tackle those issues because the government, the federal government, gets away with increasing the standard. If we were screaming about it, something would be done.
Yeah.
But we're not.
But it does show you the insanity of a government program once it starts, that even if it does the opposite of the goal, it still continues through every administration, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, and it's a Republican administration which is now saying we need to produce more and put more ethanol in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does the opposite of what the goal was intended. Doesn't matter.
No.
We can get the farmers' votes.
Right. That's exactly what Al Gore said he was trying to do.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
Drivers, finding available loads is easier than ever with the app from DrayNow. Mike Albert is the CEO of DrayNow and has more.
Well, we started DrayNow to give them access to freight that is a niche in the transportation industry that usually truckers aren't very familiar with. Typically, in the intermodal industry, truckers don't have visibility or access to this type of freight. Drivers choose what they want, when they want, to suit their personal lives. We really focus on short-haul movements. Our average haul may be 140 to 150 miles. We give them localized freight they can choose every day. They can do one, two, or even three loads in a day, where most load boards don't have that. The days of drivers talking about gross revenue really need to become a thing of the past, in my opinion. It's okay making $4,000 or $5,000 of gross revenue a week and using less fuel. It's more about what you put in your pocket. We have a simple vetting process where carriers enroll with us. Once they do that, they have access to the freight. There's no cost to the app. You go to our website, which is www.draynow.com, and click on the carrier tab. That actually starts the process.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour is sponsored by Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Let's go to David in New York City. We were talking about those evaporation balls that were used in the drought in California and the scientific report that came out that said, oops, they might have actually used more water to produce those balls than they saved from evaporation. Hi, David. You're on Red Eye Radio.
Hi, how you guys doing? Yeah, it's, I worked in plastics out of college. Me, I was in PVC manufacturing down in South Carolina. And, you know, actually the manufacturing of those balls, very expensive as far as energy. And, you know, they originally were produced to, actually deter birds from flying around on toxic ponds or trailing ponds, what they call, and especially around areas where airports were. Mm. So that was the original purpose of them. And, yes, they are. They're an injection molding product, and they take up a lot of energy to manufacture. And the water itself to cool them down. Now, talking about water evaporation, the cheapest way to cut, to stop evaporation out of reservoir would be just a film. And I'm sure there's other different types of much less expensive materials that can be covering reservoirs. I don't know how large they would be, but certainly that could be taken into consideration before you put these balls, which are very, very expensive because it's injection molding. mm-hmm. and the water itself and also the electricity and everything else that comes out of the machines, the extruders and stuff like that. Yeah. In addition, evaporation is a natural thing. It actually, it's going to happen. And if you're trying to stop evaporation, natural evaporation of large bodies of water, it's almost impossible. And if you're looking at the cost of doing this, I mean, you have to take it on small, small models, and you have to do it, responsibly, looking at all the, all the cost mm-hmm. and financial.
I think sure. the other thing that was mentioned back then is California, for a period of 30, 40 years, not rebuilding their water infrastructure or adding on to their water infrastructure to begin with.
Look, this is a man-made situation. Certainly the, Mother Nature has a part in it, but they could have solved it, I guess, is it didn't, the drought, any drought, lack of rain clearly isn't man-made, but the solution, lack of solution, mm-hmm. is definitely man-made in California. They've had the opportunity to address it, I don't know how many times over as you mentioned, a few decades, and haven't done that.
Anytime, 24 hours a day. Say, Alexa, play Red Eye Radio, and we thank you.
And good morning. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Hurley.
This hour for Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. I talked to a couple of the Freightliner's Team Run Smart pros recently when I was in Walcott, Iowa, at the Iowa 80 truck stop. Some great information. We'll be sharing that information with you, too. On really incredible fuel mileage in at least one case and some other great stuff as well. But you can log on anytime, teamrunsmart.com, teamrunsmart.com. Over 56,000 members now, and that's a big deal from all over the industry helping you be more efficient and also some cool ideas for downtime, cooking, and everything else. Go there, teamrunsmart.com by Freightliner.
Continue. You can keep going.
I was going to share the story of Henry Albert, one of the Team Run Smart pros, cooking corn fritters on the deck plate of his truck. Now he actually didn't pour them onto the deck plate, to be clear, but he had his little skillet, his griddle, sitting on the deck plate of his truck between the cab and the trailer. And there's a video of that at teamrunsmart.com. I talked to Henry last weekend and he didn't tell me about it, but I was at the website and I checked it out and I was like, man, A, those look delicious and wow, that's an interesting idea.
Continue. I'm doing special research over here.
Over what?
Well, the British Open kicked off here.
Oh, good.
The British Golf Open.
Okay.
So just so you.
It started.
British Open, you might have said, what's that for, cricket?
Because it's, it would be 7:30 in the morning now?
Yeah.
Or 7:36 in the morning now?
Yeah.
So, all right.
Players are already teeing off, so I'm paying attention to the British Open.
What's the weather like there?
Like it always is at the British Open.
What is it? Rainy and windy?
I'm not sure what it is.
Which one is it that has all the wind?
That's British Open.
That is? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's at Carnoustie this year. I don't know what the weather is right now. As you know, at that time of the year, it can be anywhere from 80 to 40.
Yeah, right? Right now, it's locally, it's 1:37 in the morning. We're still sitting at 83 degrees.
Are we really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It is hot out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just stuck my head out the back window. I didn't like where I saw yesterday because we were up to, I think we got up to 107.
Yeah, right.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Where I live, it's 88 right now.
Yeah.
Temperature they're giving me right now.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I'm sorry. The low is expected to be, I guess, 82 or 83. That's what I saw.
Yeah,
earlier.
Yes, yeah, the yeah, low. Yeah. Right.
So, and that's, we still have,
Saturday,
five or six more.
Saturday and Monday. let me see, tomorrow 108, Friday 108, Saturday 109, Sunday 108, Monday 109.
You know?
Now, we haven't gotten this in a couple of years, really. I mean, where it got up, where it's...
No, and had the, you know, long stretch of it.
Right.
You know? We haven't had that. You're right. We haven't had that in a couple
of years. And then next week it's back to the next week and the week after. Well, I mean, most of next week it's 100, let me see, Tuesday 104, Wednesday 102. Then it gets into, by the end of next week, back into the upper 90s again.
Well, I have
my brother's visiting a couple of weeks. It's only going to be, like, they say, like mid-90s.
I hope that extended forecast does hold and
cools
down a few degrees. Because what I've been told by a meteorologist friend of mine, that on once you get beyond, you know, the 7 days, that they basically rely on statistics. You know, historically, what is the average high for that day?
Which means nothing.
Which really
means nothing.
Means, you know, because you're not applying what's going on now, if that's the case.
The funny thing is, when I see it's supposed to be 109 on Friday, it's
right.
Now my decision is, do I cut the lawn tomorrow or Friday?
Yeah.
What's the difference between 108 and 109?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. It really is nothing. Yeah. Because I have to go out, and what I do at this time of year, I start at 7. I would start earlier, but I don't want to be that neighbor. Now, most of my neighbors are already up.
Yeah, during the weekday, it's okay. It's on the weekends when you start it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always sleep when I get home, but I may, if I get up early enough tomorrow, if it's 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I will throw down,
mm-hmm.
You know, one of the non-sugar Gatorades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll drink the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and not the small one. I mean, what is it, the quart size?
Right.
I'll actually throw that down, throw an evaporation rag on, and then I've got those insulated cup with water,
mm-hmm.
and I go out for 15 minutes. Do whatever I can for 50 minutes, and I walk back in the house.
That's what I have.
And I redo the evaporation rag that I put around my neck.
Right.
It's, I don't know. I have the most respect on the planet. Even those, when I come in, this is Texas, so there's road construction 365 days of the year, every year, every decade, every century. It never stops.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do it?
The workers?
How?
I don't know.
Do
and you
they
see them wearing,
do it?
What do you see them wearing? Long sleeves.
Long sleeve
and,
everything.
And I mean, because you have to protect yourself from the sun.
Yeah.
The lawn crews, you know, that you'll see working, and I see a lot of them in this and commercial area, you know, near my house, and they're working. They do this every single
okay.
construction. They're on a roof.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I have no idea.
I guess
you build that tolerance, but man.
Yeah, I stopped a couple weeks ago. I stopped, you know, I would play basketball early Saturday, Sunday morning. I stopped it now. It's just too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I did one time on the basketball court. This is back in the 80s. I was much younger back then, but I got heat exhaustion on the basketball court. I'll never forget. I'm playing basketball and I'm thinking to myself, this is great. And it was one of those 108, 109 degree days. And I thought I had drank enough water, and there I am playing basketball, and I start thinking, this is great because I feel chilly. I have all these chills. Look, I've got goosebumps. Next thing you know, I'm dribbling the ball. Next thing I know, I wake up, and I'm on the side when I wake up, and they caught me before my head hit the ground.
Mm.
They saw me. I mean, it was instantaneous. I went, boom, right over.
Mm-hmm. Well,
And so I
if
know.
If you if you really aren't, you know, and you really have to stick on the water and the any of the sports drinks to get the electrolytes back in. I mean,
yeah, I mean
I remember as a kid on the Air Force Base where my dad we lived on this Air Force Base, and my dad was stationed there in South Texas, Laughlin Air Force Base. Now, I don't know why I was hanging out at the golf clubhouse. But the golf course clubhouse had salt pills.
Yeah.
And it was a dispenser that would just give you salt pills. You know, because it was about, you know, again, staying hydrated. That's basically what we did back then before all the sports drinks were big and popular. We had Gatorade, but...
I just wonder that, and they have to have there has to be, I'm sure, a policy that has to be very strict. But, you know, we talk about our soldiers in the Middle East.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do they do, when you're talking, I mean, we're going to be at, you know, 108, 109 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. When you talk 120.
Yeah.
In 125
all
degrees.
The gear on.
In the desert, all the gear on. Mm-hmm. How much water do you have, and sports drinks and electrolytes, mm-hmm. do you have to do if you're out all day? How right. much are you going through? Now, I remember when I was much younger and I when I could do it. But when I played basketball in the heat, and this is Texas and Florida and all that, we would play all day, and it would be in the heat. And I remember going through, if we started at 10 o'clock and didn't end till 6, I remember going through 2 gallons of liquid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing the amount that you drink.
I mean, on the days when I'm not working in the yard, I'm drinking right now. Unbelievable amounts of
water.
Well,
so do I. I mean, I'll go in, as I said, I throw down the Gatorade, then I throw down some water, mm-hmm. and then I'll go in the house, and I actually don't, you know, I get the evaporation rag and I have ice water outside, but I'll actually take the tap water because it's closer to your body temperature, mm-hmm. and I'll take that down. They say it absorbs quicker in, and I'll take a huge, it's probably 20 ounces, mm-hmm. and that'll be every 15 minutes, voom, right down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will admit, when you're done a couple of hours later, and when you come back in the house and your body starts cooling down, mm-hmm. then the liquid wishes to exit in another manner, mm. which is fine and dandy.
Let's get into that.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to ask a question like the reporter did at the conference the other day. We're not going to get into that kind of question.
Hey, how about the British Open?
Yes, how about the British Open?
Who's leading?
I have no idea. Oh, I mean, okay. I was kidding. I mean, I'll.
So is this this day one? This is day one.
Yes, right?
It's Thursday.
Day one.
So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see.
Okay.
I looked at it before, and it was only had 10 golfers had teed off, and they have sometimes they have some of the first ones that tee off, or some of the older ones that have won it before but have no chance, and they let them tee off first, sort of a ceremony kind of thing. So
okay.
I didn't recognize the guy who was in the lead. I just.
All right,
you know. So, you know, I want to play. Coming up here, we will do it. We'll do it following the top of the hour.
Okay.
And this is all just the insanity that has come out on Trump. Every president you can criticize. There isn't a president that we haven't criticized,
mm-hmm.
including this president. But it is. It is those that go over the top, and I'm not necessarily talking about talk show hosts, because talk show hosts, some of them feel that that's what gets them their ratings, is to go over the top,
mm-hmm.
to just go insane. I'm not talking about shows like The View,
mm-hmm.
when it's a Joy Behar who's completely and totally clueless as to how the world runs, mm-hmm. or a Whoopi or whatever, and, you know, they're ridiculous things. This actually goes after somebody like former CIA director John Brennan, because this has been a highlight. Well, John Brennan says it's treasonous, mm-hmm. as if that gives it more credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that here in just a little bit, because since he is willing to completely and totally exaggerate the crime of treason, and that's what he's doing, and you're wondering why? He's a former CIA director. He knows it's not treason. He knows that the president can say at any time, I don't trust my intelligence services. That's not an impeachable offense.
Mm-hmm.
He can say, I trust this foreign leader more, their opinion more. He may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not treason. So why is John Brennan doing it? What could be a possible motivation? Now, normally we wouldn't speculate like this, but since a John Brennan is willing to defame somebody's character by calling something that is not treason treasonous, we will speculate as to the possibilities as to why John Brennan, the former CIA director, is doing it. And also we'll have some comments from Rand Paul, who also commented on that coming up. And he brought up one of the points that you brought up yesterday. about who he voted for president.
Yeah, I
when he's first listening, right?
Maybe
who? Brennan?
No, Rand Paul.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Brennan's not listening.
Clearly. That and more on the way, plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
My favorite story of the day yesterday was White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders blasted media hysteria, accusing reporters of confusing a Russian spy with a National Security Council employee simply because they both have red hair. Sanders was asked about 29-year-old Russian Maria Butina, who was accused of secretly working as a foreign agent while living in the United States. She pivoted the situation surrounding reporter Emily Singer, who apologized on Tuesday for mistakenly claiming that Butina was among a group photographed in the Oval Office of 2017. The woman in the photo had turned out to be National Security Council staffer Carrie Lutkins, who, like Butina, has red hair.
Uh-huh.
Just because somebody was simply redheaded, they were accused of being some sort of spy for Russia. Certainly, we're looking at that. But just to clarify, I know that there was this massive media hysteria yesterday over confusion between that individual and a White House staffer, which I think shows, frankly, the outrageousness of the desire to find the negative in everything that this president does. Just because somebody was simply redheaded, they are accused of being some sort of spy for Russia. The press secretary continued, I think this has gotten totally out of control. You guys need to take a little bit of a step back, slow down, and quit going after the Trump administration on every single thing that takes place. End of quote.
Wow. Love it.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Hi. Oh, just another beautiful day. I made myself some coffee.
Did you?
I had to hit the coffee machine like Fonzie did the jukebox.
Right,
okay, I got to come up with some references that relate to 2018. There you go.
I don't know that there is one.
There probably isn't, no.
Not for that.
But I'm really dating myself by bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right.
Well, then we'd have to explain what a jukebox is, and I don't have time for that.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to talk about this because it's the most outlandish, outrageous accusation against the president. If you've listened to this show, you know we've said from the very beginning of this presidency that the communication sucks. To sugarcoat it.
Not our show's communication.
No, the communication of the administration is horrible. And we have said this for, and we believe that it has hurt the administration. That if you have a consistent message with everybody across the board having it all the time, you are much likely to succeed on a number of avenues. That being said, not communicating something correctly is not treason. That's one of the allegations which came from former CIA Director John Brennan after the Putin-Trump press conference. Now, anybody who was paid any bit of attention to this, anybody who paid attention to the NATO meetings last week, knowing what the president's goal was to get out of NATO, whose primary mission is still to stop the expansion and whatever, be a deterrent against whom? Russia. So when you look at the actual substance of what this president is doing, and you don't have an axe to grind, I have no axe to grind on anybody. I disagree with somebody, I disagree with them. We don't practice political idolatry on the show. We don't worship anyone in Washington, D.C., or any politician anywhere. If they do right, we'll say they did right. If they did wrong, we'll say they did wrong. But we'll always do it with the perspective of how serious the allegation is.
Right.
Or how serious, not the allegation, but how serious the, quote, incident may be.
Yes.
Now, when you know what happened with this president, when you know who this president has surrounding him on national security, when you see he has a John Bolton, a Mike Pompeo, General Mattis, whatever, you look at it, you can say, okay, these are people that are wary, really, of any of our foes, slash enemies.
Right.
And so we have said, and it's been widely reported, that what the administration wished to do did not happen at that press conference. There's been a number of publications, Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal, others, that have pointed out, for example, that no, it was the president who chose to have the chose to have the announcement of the 12 Russians being indicted. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't running away from it. He wished to use it to confront it. It didn't happen. Now, we can all ask why. It's gone as far as Trump's ego is so big that he goes off script. Trump's ego is so big that he is so furious, and the combination of that and his ego. I'm going to actually Ben Shapiro, who used that, and the Wall Street Journal using the Trump first doctrine, not America first, but Trump first, that he is just so out of control over the allegations that he just throws out something out of frustration and anger. I'm not, you know, look, I know that every president has an ego. I know every president probably, you could say, has characteristics of narcissism. In order to get to that particular point and that particular office, probably a little of that is all necessary. I'm not saying that Trump doesn't have an ego. He certainly does. I don't know if it's his ego or it's just plain frustration of after a year and a half being thrown the allegation out that he colluded with the Russians to hack the election when he considers himself a patriot. And I don't believe it. Neither do you. The fact that he misspoke. We thought it was a terrible explanation that he was going to have to keep explaining, and it would keep bleeding into the conversation. And it's exactly what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So as we said, we believe that the communications and the analysis of if his aides are telling him how to communicate now, that he's moving away from the blunt Trump that a lot of people liked over the last couple of days, where it's the political, but I really don't want to tell the real reason, so we'll come up with the fact that we misspoke. I don't like what they did. I believe it was the wrong move to do. That's not treason. That doesn't mean that the substance of what Trump wants to do and his administration isn't the correct thing to do. It may be, in your opinion, the incorrect thing to do, but it certainly isn't treasonous, as John Brennan said. Before we get into finishing this, I just want to play Tucker Carlson with Rand Paul about the former CIA director accusing Trump of treason. Here it is.
Here you have a naked partisan nutcake describing a press conference as treason. How should that make us feel as American citizens?
It makes me wonder whether he should be getting a government pension if he's going to be disrespecting the commander-in-chief, calling the president treasonous. That's about as overtop as you can imagine.
But treason is a death penalty offense. He's describing views he disagrees with.
Well, yeah.
Is disagreeing with someone's opinion the same as betraying the country?
Well, you have to realize John Brennan started his illustrious career by voting for the Communist Party. You know, that's who he wanted to win the presidency back in the 70s, so he voted for the Communist Party. When he came to be head of the CIA, I filibustered him because I thought he was bad news from the very beginning. And I think what you've seen is, and what should worry us all, is this is one of the most powerful people in the world. Who has the ability to destroy anybody in the world and gain information on anything you do, any American, any foreigner? The head of the CIA. And yet, with all that power, he was coming to work each day with a bias and a hatred of the president. It should worry us all.
And that's the point right there.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Peter Strzok, what the left jumped on last week when Peter Strzok explained the text that he doesn't remember, which we all found interesting. He knew the specific details of why he sent the text and what was his motivation behind the text that he doesn't remember sending. And it was at the fact of something that Trump said that day about illegal immigrants that just drove him absolutely crazy, and you could see the anger a couple of years later in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, wow. And everybody said, well, everybody in the left was, not maybe not everybody, but a significant portion of the left said, see, Trey Gowdy was put in his place. And I know what they meant, because you see Trey Gowdy, and Trey Gowdy's just sort of sitting back and looking at him as he's going off. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the first thing I thought of. I said, did Gowdy, Gowdy didn't get beat. As a prosecutor, he just showed the jury the bias and the anger of this lead FBI investigator.
Let him demonstrate that himself.
Because when you
watch Strzok's face, and it's, you know, you can go back and review it. It's on YouTube and everywhere else. It's available. Go back and look at the emotion on his face. He's demonstrating that anger still today. He didn't calmly say, you know, at the time, I was angry over a couple of things. No. He leaned into it. And when he did, that shows not only motive then. Keep in mind, we're a couple of years removed. Still angry today.
And so when I saw Rand Paul saying that, I said to myself, okay, let's look at this. John Brennan knows that what Trump did is not treasonous. He knows it's not.
Right.
So why did he say it? Remember, a Michael Moore you expected from. A Rosie O'Donnell you expected from.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they do. They're trying to get their 15 minutes, and they're trying, that's how they get their particular publicity. Why would a former CIA director who clearly knows, and he understands, look, we think, as we said, I believe it was the worst day of his presidency so far. It was, however it happened, and I don't know the intent behind it. I suspect that it was the fact of he's just so angry that it's the same thing with no evidence day in and day out, and the media just won't get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he decided to respond. And he looked at the entire Russian collusion thing as one animal. When there's more than just, it's more than one animal.
Right.
There's the separate part of, Did Russia, forget about the collusion, did Russia attempt to infiltrate? They're always trying to infiltrate, and we're not the only country they're trying to infiltrate on. That's like a big duh. And as Devin Nunes said with the Mueller investigation, look, they got it from our report, and the only thing they didn't include was the fact that the Russians tried to get into the RNC, too. So we also know what his aides think. We know what John Bolton thinks. We know what Pompeo thinks. You know what type of a person Mattis is and how he views, you know, the world also. And so you're relatively sure that, Trump isn't treasonous. We all know that that is completely ridiculous. But why would you go there? As a former CIA director, and you and I were sitting talking in our pre-show meeting a little bit and started saying, well, look, there's still a lot of this investigation that we don't know about. Because why is he protesting so loud and with such outrageous allegations that anybody who doesn't suffer from Trump derangement syndrome know is not true and is not accurate? Well, is it because he's trying to deflect attention elsewhere? As we know, we've never still gotten to the bottom of the unmasking of former UN Ambassador Samantha Power, for some reason unmasking hundreds upon hundreds of people. And she claims and said to Trey Gowdy and the House and the House Judiciary Committee, I didn't do that.
Right.
I didn't unmask these people. Well, I started thinking, because you and I have always asked, who would be the person who could get away with unmasking in someone else's name? It would have to be somebody extremely high in the intelligence agencies, would it not?
It would have to be.
What gets higher than the CIA director? Well, now, the only reason I'm bringing this up, I'm not accusing him of anything. What I'm stating is he is making accusations of other people that are completely unwarranted. So then that asks the question, why? Why would you do that? Are you attempting to deflect? And he is so outrageous in his allegations. They are so untrue, unproven, to the point of being insane rhetoric that's not coming from somebody from Hollywood, but the former CIA director. It shows you two things. The absolute hatred that he had for Trump when he was in office, which then takes us to the FISA warrants. And remember the Obama administration in late 2016 was taken to task for abuse of FISA warrants. Well, who was CIA director from 2013 to 2017 who would have been involved and is the overseer of all that surveillance that was going on that the FISA court took the Obama administration to task for in April of 2016? These are things that we still don't know. We don't know who did all this unmasking, because there wasn't a few. There were hundreds upon hundreds, as we know, of unmaskings. And Samantha Power told the House Judiciary Committee, I didn't do it.
Well, and when you look at that, the entire unmasking number, the entire equation, if you will, that's not a small number. Remember how Rand Paul said at one time, you know, his name was on a list, and that list that came out with hundreds of names? All of that goes back to what? I mean, if you follow this back to what we learned from Circa News, and the right. court documents, as you just mentioned, that the Obama administration was told in 2011 that they were going too far. They show up days before the 2016 election to tell the FISA court, yeah, you told us to stop. We actually didn't stop. Their mea culpa to the FISA court's moment. And we have to ask, what was the court concerned with going back to 2011? What did they get away with up until, well, Election Day 2016?
And who would have been the CIA director that would have been involved in those FISA warrants for the surveillance between 2013 and 2017? John Brennan.
Because why would a UN ambassador be unmasking names?
Right. So with these outrageous allegations from a former CIA director, one has to ask why he is protesting in that insane kind of way. asking the questions since he's making the unwarranted allegations. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. I did see the headline yesterday, and I'm paraphrasing the headline. Trump is different than any other president that we've ever had. I said, well, that's a Sherlock statement.
Yeah.
Why do you think he was elected?
Yeah. I thought we went over that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, why are we going over this again? He's more outrageous than any president we've ever had. Completely and totally different. The normal protocol doesn't seem to apply to him. That's why he was elected.
Mm-hmm. Now, can we go about our day?
He doesn't have the same experience that you should have as president that all the other ones have. That's why he was elected.
Welcome to 2016.
Yeah, sorry, have you got to 2016 yet?
For VDO Roadlog, here is your forecast.
Summer heat will be intense for the western and southern U.S. the rest of the week. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for parts of the west, while heat advisories blanket the south. Record high temperatures possible in the southern U.S. from today into this weekend, so the period of hazardous heat will be prolonged. In the west, it's the high temperatures and dry conditions, added to some winds which will increase red flag warnings and the potential for more wildfire danger. Atlanta will be at 90 today. Memphis will hit 92. Dallas above the triple digits at 106. Kansas City 92 today. Chicago 81. From Des Moines to Minneapolis, St. Paul, then over to Madison, we'll see some showers today. That's the I-35, 90, 94 area. That system will remain pretty well locked in place today, but look for those showers moving into the Chicagoland area by tomorrow. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
In the octagon now, 1-866-90-RED-EYE.
And he is Eric Carlton, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Sorry there. You know, sometimes when you talk for 5 hours on the air, something goes in your throat there.
Yeah, it happens.
I'm okay now.
Good.
Yes.
We were all worried.
So I just thought it was important to bring it up. I was seeing that Tucker Carlson was also in one of his back and forth with the Democratic congressman where he said, I'm not shocked they're doing it. You know, he's talking about the Democratic congressman. I'm frankly shocked that the Democrats are using the whole treason thing. I'm not shocked by it, but it was really started by the former CIA director. And so you ask why. And then that gives legitimacy for others to use it. Well, the former CIA director said it's treason. You know, the former head of the NSA said he's colluding with aiding and abetting Russia. Yeah, Clapper, who lied under oath to the American people about the government looking at the metadata of your phones and wasn't prosecuted because he was a part of the Obama administration that wouldn't do it when he came out and said, oh, I misunderstood the question.
Yeah.
It was impossible. If you've seen the transcript, we've already done that before, seen the transcript of the question, impossible to understand that.
He's a liar.
He's a liar. So you ask the question, why would the former CIA director, knowing that it does, it's not even, what Trump did is not even in the constitutional definition of treason. It doesn't fit the legal definition of treason. You may not like it. You may vehemently disagree with Trump's opinions at times. Doesn't make it treason. No. So why would the former CIA director make such an outlandish accusation? Why is he protesting that much?
Well,
and it goes back to what we think, you know, that's a possibility that there's so much dirt from the Obama administration when it comes to unmasking. And when it comes to unmasking and the surveillance, we have always believed that somebody high up in the intelligence agencies, if Samantha Power, as she told Trey Gowdy, I did not authorize these unmaskings, someone high up in the intelligence agencies would have to arrange that to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why the Republicans haven't been all over that over the last year and a half, 2 years.
Well, because if Trey Gowdy, and there's no reason to believe Trey Gowdy was lying about that, but if what he was saying is true, that Samantha Power, behind closed doors in testimony, said that that was not her, she did not do that. Well, first of all, you have to ask the question, why would a UN ambassador be unmasking? What would be the purpose of that? And if there is a purpose, why so much of it? Because basically that was the claim. Those weren't all her. Well, then who would have access? Who would have that kind of power or authority or know-how of how to use someone else's credentials? And what would you look to do in a situation like that? You're looking to create plausible deniability for everyone at the top of that administration.
And since Brennan has been one of the loudest in completely bizarre allegations against the president, one asks why.
Well, because
you can say I vehemently disagree with what the president said.
Right.
And I have to question, why did he say that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem with that whatsoever.
Right.
To call it treason, you say, okay, doesn't even fit the definition of treason to begin with. So why are you doing this?
Well, remember McCabe and the whole extortion thing?
Yes.
You know, and it is that, wow, over the top kind of, because you're talking about somebody who knows what the law is. They clearly know what the law is. They know the definition of words.
Right. So you ask the
question. So why the over the top comment from someone like that? That's been in a considerable, you know, position of power. Well, then you have to ask, and we said months ago that there's likely going to be some kind of fallout if we get to the point of learning that this entire unmasking thing, that the FISA court warrants and all of this was ill-gotten, then there could be people on Capitol Hill where you can draw the line and say, well, that person at least knew of it and didn't do anything about it. I mean, we go back to the NSA thing when it was Wyden and Udall that wrote the Justice Department saying, we believe the FISA court has misinterpreted this part of the Patriot Act, and we don't believe that they should be collecting the metadata of millions of Americans. And we were asking the question, where were the Republicans on that?
We've asked that question to today. Where were the Republicans on that?
So you apply the same kind of thinking. The oversight committees or anybody that's on Capitol Hill. Because if this was going on for years, keep in mind the FISA courts, and we still don't know what the FISA court's concern was with the Obama administration. But they told them in 2011 that this is overreach, essentially.
And they violated the rights, the constitutional rights of American citizens.
Right.
Is what the FISA court said.
Right. And that went on for another 5 years because the administration shows up days before the 2016 election and basically said to the courts, we really didn't stop doing that
and,
when you told us.
And Brennan, the CIA director between 2013 and 2017.
Right. Again, how does all of that happen without the cooperation of a number of people, very key people at the top, and also the awareness of others? I mean, there could be, who knows where the fallout could be if we indeed find out that all of this, of what we suspect may have happened, actually did happen.
And it's the whole thing, you get to the point of, me thinks you protest too much.
Right.
And then when I saw it with Brennan going, he seems to really be off the rails. Why would he be off the rails and making these? Why is Brennan sounding like Michael Moore?
Right.
Now, what's going on here? You could still, there's plenty of things that the opposition can come out and on their side sound legit for their side against Trump.
Yeah.
From the Democrat liberal side, there are many things. Treasonous is just, it's ridiculous. So why is he doing it? Why is he protesting to the point of absurdity is our question. So it gets right back to what we have always asked before. Who was involved in the massive unmasking of Trump officials that was assigned to Samantha, apparently was Samantha Power. And when she testified to Trey Gowdy, she said, I didn't authorize those and I didn't do those.
That wasn't me.
I did some. I didn't do the hundreds upon hundreds that you're looking at. Well, if she didn't do it and it was assigned to her, then who could possibly arrange something like that?
Right.
And when you get into the whole FISA warrant thing with Carter Page and the surveillance of Trump campaign officials and the unmasking, there's no way that at something to that level of a presidential candidate that the head of the CIA at that point did not know. So the question is that why he is protesting so much? He is afraid something might come back and hit him.
Well, because it's likely, like we said, there's likely to be fallout of people that were at least aware of it, right?
Yes, exactly.
And who knows who that could be?
The only reason I'm asking the question, and we're asking the questions, we're not making it, is because he's making the unwarranted allegations
right
against the president. Once you cross that barrier, then, and when it's so absurd, we talk show hosts ask questions as to why are you protesting so much to the point of complete absurdity? Somebody who was CIA director. Number one, you're showing your incredible bias when the allegation from Trump is you showed incredible bias.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is a lot of unanswered questions on things that you as CIA director would absolutely know about. Connecting the dots.
And the comments a few months ago, and I just asked the question, and we were talking about it, and we threw it back and forth that night on the air. Why is Brennan, the former CIA director, talking about FBI operations? I'm not saying he wouldn't be aware of them, or there wouldn't be cooperation between the two agencies. I just don't know why in the world he would be commenting on them with that kind of intimate knowledge. So you put everything together, and there's going to be fallout if this thing actually does happen, if the light actually does hit this, then we're likely to learn something. But here's what the Democrats are putting their hopes on. Brennan wants Trump gone. Mm-hmm. The Democrats, of course, want Republicans gone. Because once all of the, if that were to happen, once Trump is gone, well, then there's the administration. if the who was it that said it the other day? We need to. It was an activist that said it, and I don't know if it was on MSNBC, but somebody who appears on MSNBC on a regular basis. We need to remove Trump from office and put Hillary in.
Yeah.
We could have a special election or just put her in. This is how they think. But you know that there are people right now that, again, if this massive abuse of power did actually happen, they're sweating bullets. Because the fallout could be massive. It could be huge. It absolutely will be the largest.
I just put that
presidential
in Google.
Scandal.
I put it in Google and it doesn't come up. Who said that? Because I saw the headline. I saw the headline too.
Yeah, I'll find
we'll
it.
Find it. Okay.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
He's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. We go to Jeff in Crofton, Maryland. Jeff, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey. How you doing?
Good.
Just want to give you an update. I'm still self-employed, so I'm still unsure as to whether I'm up late or my morning's just getting started. But I wanted to comment on what you were just saying.
Yes.
About the, you know, the anti-Trumpers and whatever, impeaching Trump. And then, possibly, you know, them thinking that Hillary would somehow become president. Yeah, I agree.
You agree with my laugh? I like. Go ahead. Yeah. No, go ahead. Right. Sorry, it doesn't work that way.
What I don't hear a lot of these people say or whatever though is. If Trump were to be impeached, we don't get Hillary. We get Mike Pence.
Yes, exactly.
The activist made it clear, remove Trump and Pence.
Yes.
Impeach both.
But here's the thing. We've always said they should go big. If you're going to go fantasy, go big.
Right.
Well, now they do nothing but fantasy, so why not? Mike Barnicle that said, we need to rewrite the Constitution and remove Trump from office. Go ahead, rewrite that Constitution, and then put somebody else in office. And once you rewrite the Constitution, Mr. Barnicle, that means that the Republicans can remove whoever you put in office, right? I'm just asking.
Yes, how would you change? Yeah, how would you change the we're going to change the Constitution to remove Trump.
Yeah, rewrite it. We're just going to go sit down and rewrite it. Let's pull up a Word document and we'll just rewrite it very quickly. They are clueless. Absolutely clueless, and they wonder why they're losing.
Sounds like a Popeye cartoon and Barnacle Bill the Sailor,
like Barnacle.
Geez. Yeah, well, it is, and thanks, Jeff. It is a never-ending parade of stupidity. It really is. If one thing came out of the Trump presidency, and it was just that, I think it would be doing America justice, because all of these morons, they don't shut up. They don't. They just keep talking.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.